It was Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. I do want to praise the Lord because I honestly wasn't entirely sure I was preaching the right thing this morning. I told my pastor I had several different options. I knew, kind of knew in the back of my mind what I was supposed to do, but I did not want to do it. I just didn't want to preach the sermon. I preached it before. And as time went on, I came up with other options, and I just couldn't get anywhere with it. And then Gino and I did not converse or talk at all until right here this morning, right about down here. And Gino and I do share a lot of similarities, and we are both flash pans on a lot of topics. And one of those topics on which we are both flash pans is the topic of missions, the topic of commitment to Christ, the topic of going and fulfilling the call that God has given us as soldiers of the cross. And I really didn't want to preach this sermon this morning because this was talked about on Thursday. And then come to find out that Gino attacked it this morning from a slightly different angle. And then the Lord has put it on my heart to attack it from a different angle even still this morning. I can't help but think that there's somebody in this audience that God is trying to get a hold of you right now. And He's trying to lay a sledgehammer to that door that you have erected to keep yourself away from the will of God. And He is begging and pleading with you to reconsider. And I beg and plead with you as well as we look at God's Word. This morning when Gino preached, we saw that there are certain sins that will keep you from being committed to Christ. And here in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, we're not going to see any specific sins mentioned. We're not talking about any big, bad, uglies. We're not talking about immorality, about adultery, about any of these things. We're talking about those that are okay. Those that in the eyes of the rest of the world were perfect candidates to be followers of Christ, to be disciples, and yet Jesus sent them home. And here in a world, in an age that is marked by inclusionism, bringing everybody together, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, or where you are in your life, I'm to accept you where you're at. These attitudes have caused problems with standards and parameters, requirements. I read the other day the United States military is re-examining their basic physical fitness tests because soldiers aren't passing. And as we try to be more inclusive about who comes into the military based upon age, gender, supposedly ethnicity, all these other things, they can't meet the requirements to be a soldier of the United States of America. And so we lower the bar, we lower the standard to accept them. China has struggled with this. It's kind of interesting to watch with the little tensions between India and China. China suddenly backs down. It's because China internally is afraid that their military is not ready for a fight. Their soldiers are single children. They were raised in a home where they were the apple of their parents' eyes. Sure, they can march in line very beautifully, and they can be very impressive out on parade. But in actual combat situations, they're not ready. They're not prepared. They don't have internally the guts. That's what their own generals have said. They do not have the guts. They do not have the umption. They do not have the strength to be soldiers for their country because they don't meet the requirements. Well, we are all in an army, whether we signed up or not. And our requirements aren't how many push-ups we can do, how well we can shoot. Sorry. It has everything to do with our commitment to Christ. Amen. And unlike institutions and armies throughout history, and that are even today dropping their bars and lowering their standards to include everybody. Jesus Christ, when He said, "Follow me," He had a standard, and that was commitment, and that has not fallen, that has not dropped. Jesus Christ has not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same level of commitment that we're going to see from Jesus Christ's own lips that is required in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62 is still commanded of us, every single one in this room here today. I'm going to preach a sermon here entitled, "Are You a Follower of Christ?" It's a very simple question, but I pray that the Lord will help you to ask that and that the Holy Spirit will illuminate all of our eyes this morning as we examine this. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for the opportunity that You've given me to preach Your Word, Father. Thank You for bringing me to a place that I never thought that I would reach. Lord, I want to thank You for the work that You've done in my own heart. And Lord, I pray even now that You will do a work in the hearts and lives of those in front of me, my dear brothers and sisters, and even fathers and mothers in Christ. Lord, thank You, and it's Your name that we pray. Amen. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." I want to point something out very quickly. This individual comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I want to follow you. This person comes to Christ voluntarily. He may have been the cream of the crop of his sect of Judaism. At the synagogue, he may have been the veteran Bible college student. He may have been the one that wanted to surrender when all the others were, okay, I don't believe whether this is the Messiah or not. We'll see how this happens. This was the man with a little bit of guts, man with a little bit of gumption. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. Wherever you go, I'm going to be there. I'm going to stick to you like glue. Before Jesus congratulates him, he simply says, you know, foxes have holes to sleep in. Birds of the air have nests that they rest in, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Basically, all he did was say, son, I can't promise you a pillow at night. And that was all that was required to dissuade this young man from being a disciple of Christ. I ask you this morning, are you willing to be a follower of Christ and be committed to Christ? Are you satisfied with the security that your present life right now has to offer you? This individual didn't want to take a risk. This individual didn't want to step out on faith. This individual did not want to commit because he was satisfied with the security that he had at his present life. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the believer's security. I'm not going to preach to you tonight or this morning, I should say, like you're not saved. We're going to take that as a given. So the Bible has something to say to each and every one of you, even myself here this morning, about my security. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Don't turn there for the sake of time, but the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." It's in that order, folks. You don't get to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a little Christ, I'm an example of Jesus Christ, if you're not willing to take up your cross. That's what Jesus said. You're not allowed to say, I'm a soldier of the cross, if you're satisfied with your security. You're not allowed to say those things, to claim those things, if you won't deny yourself. He says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." It says, "For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Actually, in Luke chapter 9, if you look at verses 23 through 27, here just a few paragraphs before we find these interviews of Jesus with these prospective followers of Christ, we find this exact same teaching. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that the believer's sense of security is only truly fulfilled when he actually abandons it all and turns it over to Christ. This is entirely contrary to the way in which we are taught to think today. You know, we're all raised being told that we can be whatever we want to be. We can do whatever we want to do. And I praise the Lord for the fact that we have a country where we have those freedoms. But we must not confuse the freedom that we have with the call that we've been given. Jesus Christ did not say you can do whatever you want to do with your life. Jesus Christ did not say you can be whatever you want to be with your life. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ said, take up your cross and follow me. We won't belabor the point. But you know, when he said take up a cross, he wasn't talking about a silver pendant that hung around his neck. He's not talking about a little piece of jewelry that you hang from your ears, or even a crucifix, or a picture of Christ on the cross. You understand that the cross was the most brutal and the biblically cursed method of killing a man. When he said you pick up your cross, he said you take your death voluntarily on your shoulders and you follow me with it. When you saw a man walking down the street and he was carrying a cross, you knew one thing about that man, and that it was he was never going to come back. I would like to be able to preach to you that we can include every single one of you in the army of Christ. I would like to say that we can lower the bar, that Jesus Christ said that, hey, if you name the name of Christ, then you're my servant. If you name the name of Christ, then you're a Christian. If you name the name of Christ, then you are my follower, you're my disciple, but that's not the case. I ask you today, in what areas of your life are you selecting security over service? In what areas of your life are you maybe refusing to look where the Lord has called you to do something, but you don't know because you don't know? I know what that's like. Mr. Hankey had it almost right. I knew from a young age what the Lord wanted me to do with my life. I didn't know specifics, but I knew I was called to missions. And as I got older and I watched the Lord bring my father through Bible college and watched our family grovel on our hands and knees trying to make ends meet, I told the Lord, I said, if you're going to drag my father out here, he's going to give up both of his 401ks in order to go to this school to serve you, and you're going to make us go through this, then no, I'm not serving you because I can't trust you. I want to be able to give my wife and my family good things when I have them. And I told that to my father's face one time, and I remember the tears streaming down his cheeks. So I told him, no, I will not do what you do because I want to be able to give my kids good things when they're my age. And the ministry doesn't give you that sense of security. But that's not what the Lord promises. It's not what the Lord commands. Everyone wants to say, I'm a follower of Christ, but they don't want to take up their cross. They don't want to sacrifice their security. By the way, you don't sacrifice anything when you hand it to Christ. Amen. We must move on. Time is fleeting. But the first thing that we've seen here with this first interview is that you cannot be a follower of Christ if you are satisfied with your security. You cannot be a follower of Christ. Jesus Christ sent this young man home. He didn't lower the bar. He didn't lower the standard. He sent him away. And I ask you today, if you weren't sitting in an Ambassador Baptist Bible College chapel, if you weren't sitting before professors that love you and care about you, if you weren't sitting before your mother or your father, if you weren't sitting before your fiancé or girlfriend or your boyfriend or the people that you wanted to impress, but you're actually standing before Jesus Christ and express that you wanted to follow him, would he send you home this morning? Number two, you cannot be a follower of Christ if you are searching for surplus. Look at verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. Jesus Christ specifically calls this one. I can't help but think that there are many here this morning that Jesus Christ is specifically calling you. It's a Bible college. We say, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, we do understand, obviously, we've heard this passage preached. We know the historical and cultural background. This man was not talking about a body that was cooling even as he spoke. He's talking about waiting for his father to die, which could be days, weeks, months, years. Because if he wasn't at the house, if he wasn't present with the family when the father died, if he was not an active member of that family, he received no inheritance. Remember the parable of the prodigal son where he says, look, I don't want to wait for you to die. I want my inheritance now. Give me my cut now. That's what we're talking about here. You know, I haven't labeled this as surplus merely for the purpose of alliteration, although it does work out nicely. But because that's really all that our worldly gain is. Remember, Paul wrote, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we know that Paul was a man who was content to die with nothing, by the way, and did die with nothing. But he promised that if you're a follower of Christ, he'll supply all your need. It may not be all of your wants, and we in America, we have a lot of wants. I have a lot of wants. God hasn't promised to give me those, but he has promised to give me my needs. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus is teaching. This is from the mouth of Christ himself. This isn't my opinion. This is Jesus Christ. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know how great men of God have said, if I can track your money. Actually, we should say great men all throughout history, secular, Christian, or otherwise, have said, if I see what you spend your money on, I can tell you what you're devoted to. And yet we as Christians seem to think we're an exemption from that. It's not so. It's not so. Just a few verses later in that same passage, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. It means not me. That means not you. You're either going to love the one or you're going to hold to the other. You're going to forsake the one and despise the other. And who are these two masters? He says you cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon being money, worldly gain of any sort. We could talk a little bit about giving, but we're going to skip through that this morning. We remember the rich young ruler. My brother Thomas preached on that a few days ago, I believe. Remember how the rich young ruler had everything together, or so he thought. And at the end of the day, when he comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do? Now, we know that this is talking about a context of almost salvation. But the rich young ruler would not follow Christ because he couldn't get over his stuff. You know, but in a context not in salvation, but maybe after salvation, you still can't follow Christ and worship your stuff. That never changed. And I ask you, is Jesus Christ knocking on the door of your heart, asking you to be committed to Him, asking you to be committed to whatever it may be that He asks of you, asking you to follow Him whithersoever He would go, asking you to tell the world, asking you to fulfill the only command that He gave us, which was to go and preach the gospel to every nation, to all creatures everywhere. That's in our backyard, that's across the street, that's on the far corners of the globe. I'm not necessarily preaching a mission sermon here this morning. It may seem like that because that's the heart that God has poured into me. But maybe He does call you to stay. That doesn't give you a license to not reach the lost. You cannot be a follower of Christ if you are searching for surplus. You cannot serve both God and man. Amen. You can't follow God and follow your money. You can't follow God and follow your job. You can't follow God and follow your stocks. That's what God said. Finally, as we move on, another said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Excuse me, please. Once again, we got to view this in the context of the day. This is not simply a goodbye kiss on the cheek, but this would have been a little bit of a feast, would have gone on for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and also, by the way, would have given the family plenty of time to talk their young, radical son out of following Christ. Remember, in this context, doing something great for God here within the walls of this room is a great thing, and everybody would stand up and applaud it. Outside these walls, not quite so much. Back in that day, nobody. Jesus was a spark. He was a cool individual. He did cool things, but he was radical, and people didn't really care for the insecurity that his teachings brought. And besides, they thought the Roman soldiers were going to come any day to crush this thing. Jesus wasn't popular. You cannot be a follower of Christ if you are susceptible to society. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's from the lips of Jesus Christ himself, the one that you're claiming to follow, the one that you're saying, I'm a follower of Christ, or I'm going to be a follower of Christ. Did he just send you home? This is a contrast. The life of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, one who is truly committed to the cause of Christ. All other loves and devotions must pallor in oblivion compared to your love for Christ. It must. It must. You know, society is not going to decide to follow Jesus. It never has and it never will. Culture, it will never encourage it, and family may often protest it. But in the end, which will count for eternity? Is it going to be the sneers of society or the commendation of Christ when He says, well done, my good and faithful servant? Which one's going to last for eternity? Like I said, I didn't want to preach a sermon this morning. It's not popular. It's polarizing. It's divisive. We don't hear a lot of preaching like this, and I didn't want to be the man to do it. I know I come across as intense, and sometimes I can be a little bit harsh, but at heart I really do love everybody, and my heart grieves when someone is in pain. But at the same time, this is what is necessary. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't preach this. I've got three reasons for why I preached this morning. First of all, this is the burden that the Lord laid on my heart. I couldn't get away from it, and the Lord knows I tried. Second of all, my love and concern for you. Say, what are you talking about? First of all, you can't experience happiness and fulfillment outside of embracing God's will for your life, and His will for your life is to follow me. I don't know what that looks like. Only you do. When He comes and He knocks on the door of your heart and He says, Seth, follow me. Josiah, follow me. Timothy, follow me. He knocks at the door of every one of our hearts. Do you know why? Because I know it's every one of our hearts, because you're all children of Christ. And unless you answer that call, you will never know the true joy and fulfillment that Christ has to offer you. You will never know it. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 says, He has shown thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? You can't do justly without obedience to God. You can't love mercy without truly being filled and empowered by the love of God. And you cannot walk humbly with your God if you are resisting His will for your life. My final concern and purpose for preaching this message is fear for those who you are supposed to be reaching. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in one of these days we will stand together in glory. But there may be some that were supposed to be there among us that were not, are not, will not, because we didn't follow Christ. We went our own way. We didn't spread the gospel. We didn't tell the good news. A year and a half ago, I had something occur that has drastically changed the course of my life, at least how I perceive it. My brother and best friend died in my arms. And I spent 30, maybe even 45 minutes, I don't know, the ambulance got stuck and couldn't get to us. And I spent that time doing everything that I could to keep my brother breathing. Everything that I could. I've had all kinds of, I've had CPR certification, I've had first response training, and I used every little bit of that to keep that young man with me. I remember after the officers got there and he had been taken away, standing there in the weird glare of those police lights and looking at my hands and my arms were covered with the blood of my brother. I remember a police officer coming up to me and pouring water on them and trying to scrub it off. It wasn't just blood. It didn't come off. And I still, even now, I see that in my dreams every night on a daily basis, and it haunts me. The one that I loved, the one that I cared about, tried to save and could not. You say, you're being dramatic. Yes, it is dramatic. But you want to know what's even more dramatic? It's a soul that's burning and screaming and crying from hell for all of eternity because you couldn't get your act together to follow Christ. Because you were content with your security. You were satisfied with your searching for a surplus. And you were susceptible to society. I don't think that kind of blood will ever wash off. I will say I have been motivated by that thought multiple times to go to my car and get a tract and go back into the store. I want to tell you, this sermon is just as much aimed in my own heart as it is at the heart of any individual in this congregation. And I want you to know that I'm not preaching down to anybody, and I really am not trying to berate anybody or knock anybody upside the head with the Bible. It's not my purpose here this morning. I would beg and plead with you to ask yourself, are you truly committed to Christ this morning? Are you really following Christ? If you're facing Christ this morning and not myself, would he send you home?